Started to know the Lord, but just to preach his word. The Bible says a workman must made a rule of God. Started to know the Lord, but just to preach his word. The Bible says a workman must be made approved of God. Started to know the Lord, but just to preach his word. The Bible says a workman must be made approved of God. Started to know the Lord, but just to preach his word. The Bible says a workman must be made approved of God. Study to know the Lord, not just to preach his word. The Bible says a workman must be made approved of God. Study to know the Lord, not just to preach his word. The Bible says a workman must be made approved of God.
Study
to know the Lord, not just to preach his word. The Bible says the workman must be made approved of God.
Solo. We not just study to preach, we study to know the Lord. Our old fathers, they studied the Lord to know him, not just to preach. So when you study, don't study to preach, study to know him.
Hallelujah.
Moses, the man of God, studied to know the Lord, just to preach him, just to preach his word. Study to know the Lord, just to preach his word. The Bible says a workman must be made approved. Oh, study to know the Lord.
Thank you.
Just to preach his word. The Bible says a workman must be made approved of God.
Study
to know the Lord. Just to preach his word. The Bible says the workman must be made approved of God.
He's the man of God.
Thank you.
He knew the ways of God. Despite the souls he led, we are limited to his heart. He sought to fill the path, his sunshine, cloud, or rain. His knowledge of the Lord became the safety for the train.
Study
to know the Lord, not just to preach his word. The Bible says a workman must be made approved of God.
Study
to know the Lord, not just to preach his word. The Bible says a workman must be made approved of God. Joshua, one of the 12, he knew the ways of God, and so refused to yield why others were dismayed. He trusted in the Lord, who gave over the land. His knowledge of the Lord became their victory over all. Study to know the Lord, but just to preach his word. The Bible says a workman must be made approved of God.
Study
to show the Lord, but just to preach his word. The Bible says a workman must be made approved of God.
Study
to show the Lord, but just to preach His word. The Bible says a workman must be made a proof of God.
Study
to show the Lord, but just to preach His word. The Bible says a workman must be made a proof of God.
Study
to know the Lord, just to preach His word. The Bible says a workman must be made a proof of God.
Study
to know the Lord, but just to preach His word. The Bible says a workman must be made a proof of God.
Study
to know the Lord, not just to preach His word. The Bible says a workman must be made a proof of God.
Study
to know the Lord, not just to preach His word. The Bible says a workman must be made a proof of God.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That was edifying. God bless you, Brother Chima. Indeed, that's a gift. Sir? Somebody said something. That was a gift. Once again, church, let's put our hands together for the living God. Anytime he comes to sing, he writes his songs. That's not a copyrighted song. That's a song written by him for this program. And you agree with me that God has passed a message through him. You see, the way of the bride is different from the way of concubines. If you are a concubine, you will not have come this way. The next thing they'll be thinking of is how they're going to wax it and commercialize it. But you see, he has another song for the June camp. This one came for the minister's conference. And no true minister will tell me that there was no message passed from that song. So you see, the bride is different from concubine. If you're a bride of Jesus, put your hands together for the Lord. Once again, God bless you, great men of God. Privilege has also been given to me to exhort us this morning. Pastor Onyebuchi has exhorted us. Pastor Osas has exhorted us. We still have some speakers that will exhort us tomorrow. But permit me to chip in something very, very small. But yet, I think it will help somebody. Can I prophesy? Thank you, sirs. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Says all scripture. Not the question that Ebe Damina is asking. That is not everything in the word of God, in the Bible, that is the word of God. It's not until it is God that spoke that is the word of God. It is inspired by God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, verse 17 is my emphasis. It says, verse 17, please. That the man of God may be perfect. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Father, Lord, we thank you for today. That day, as we go into another session of hearing your word, speak through us, speak to us, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Bless us in Jesus' name of prayer. Ministers cannot shout amen. Amen. That the man of God be perfect. That is the topic of my short talk this morning. That the man of God be perfect. IT, I thought you would show the topic for us now. That the man of God be perfect. That's the title of this short exhortation. That the man of God be perfect. Brethren, God's requirement for his ministers, for his watchmen, is that they be perfect. God requires nothing less than perfection from his servants. Are we together? Said that the man of God may be perfect. He must be. He requires nothing less than perfection from the servant of God. Please, you may remove the topic. We've seen it. It requires nothing less than perfection from us. Perfection is a necessary requirement for God's service. And when I speak of perfection in this context, the perfection here is not sinlessness. It's not even character perfection. We are not talking of, oh, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. That is not the perfection that the scripture is referring to here. You can study it maybe on your own. Check other translations and you will discover that the word that King James called perfection, other adjectives were used to define that word in some other translations. So the perfection we are talking of is that the man of God may be complete, that the man of God may be proficient, that the man of God may be skilled, that the man of God may be fluent. But let me use this common language, that the man of God may be qualified. Are we together, brethren? Yes, sir. Ah, only a brother shouted, yes, sir. My God. Am I talking to servants, ministers, or I'm talking to congregation? No. So I'm seeing some un-ministerial-like qualities. There are ministerial ethics. Last year we had some talks on ministerial ethics. I wish we've had such this year, because you still discover that many of us need ministerial ethics. We say service is starting by 12. A minister is not here by 12. You know, if your church service is starting by 9, you will not be happy when people come late. We are ministers here, so we are not sparing any word. We must punch ourselves so that when we leave, we will get stronger. It's not right. It is not a minister-like quality. It is not ethical for a minister. Who will teach the congregation that God is a timekeeper when the ministers don't keep time? Are we together? But that's not where I'm going to. But it's part of what I'm saying. That the man of God may be qualified. Every field or practice has what qualifies the people involved in it. So when the Bible is saying that the man of God may be perfect, it's actually saying that that man of God may be qualified, because it is not every man of God that is qualified. In Nigeria, you are not yet a medical doctor till you go through medical school, you graduate. Even when you graduate, you finish your 6 years or how many years in the medical school, you are not yet a qualified doctor. Until you do what they call housemanship. Is that right? It is after your housemanship that you now come out. They will say, this is a perfect, this is a qualified medical doctor. If you started medical school and you dropped in year 4, are you a doctor? God bless you. You're a quack doctor. And we have some of them in Nigerian hospitals. They can perform some small things for you. They'll tell you they're a doctor, but they didn't finish school. They didn't do housemanship. Quack doctor. It is the same with the work of ministry. Not every minister is qualified. So the perfection in this context is not even character perfection. He's not speaking of maturity. He's speaking of being qualified. Praise the living God. You are either a quack minister or a perfect minister. You're either a quack minister or a qualified minister. And brethren, the problem in the church of Jesus today, the problems we see in the church is because we have quack ministers leading the church. That's the problem. We have ministers that are not perfect. You see why I said it? That the man of God be perfect. It is necessary. You must be perfect. You must be qualified. Not everyone is qualified to be a minister. And I'm not talking of the pastoral office, because he makes it clear in his word that there is a fivefold ministry. We've established that the apostles have done their work and God, we have 4 left. Not everyone is qualified to be an evangelist. Not everyone is qualified to be a pastor. Not everyone is qualified to be a prophet. Not everyone is qualified to be a teacher. But yet, God requires us to be qualified. He requires us, like the medical doctor, to go through medical school, graduate from medical school, and go and do your housemanship under a resident doctor that will be supervising you. You should say, this one, go school. They didn't learn anything. You are doing your housemanship. You are doing your housemanship. At the end of your housemanship, you are now certified a medical doctor. That is when you can say you're a perfect doctor. If you don't do it, or you drop out of that school, you are not yet a doctor. You are not perfect. But you are a quack doctor. You can say it. I'm a doctor. I'm a doctor. I went to UniBen. I'm a doctor. You went to UniBen. I spent 5 years in medical school, but I did not graduate. I didn't do housemanship. But I'm a doctor. I still understand the human attack. Is he a perfect doctor? Can you entrust your health with such doctor? Please answer me, ministers. So it is with the work of ministry. And that's the problem. Ministers that are not perfect leading the people. What will become of the people they are leading when the minister is not qualified? What will become of that patient that is undergoing a surgery from a quack doctor? What will happen to him? If he survives the surgery, you say he's a miracle working God. When you know he's a quack doctor, there's this fear. Because he's not qualified. That is how God sees his ministers. Brethren, God is looking for men of God who are qualified this season. Our God is looking for men of God who are perfect, who are proficient, who are skilled, who are fluent. God is looking for ministers that are perfect because he needs them for his bride. And I hope you know the time that we are living in. Let's see it in Matthew chapter 20 from verse 1. Why God is not gambling, he's looking for, he needs perfect ministers. He says, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to his labor, to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour. This is the last hour for work. It's the last lap. This is where he went. It was at this time he went to hire the last laborers for the day. They will work the last hour. And brothers, we are those 11th hour ministers. Praise the living God. So, at this 11th hour, what kind of laborers do you think you'll be hiring? Will it be looking for people that will not be able to do anything? If the early morning laborers have been planting, they planted, they watered, at the 11th hour, you'll be looking for people that will harvest. Now, imagine that they are not skilled to do what he wants. How will it be? In the first hour, he still has a choice. If you don't do my work, I'll go again and hire people. But at the 11th hour, he has no choice. He's either he gets it right or he misses it. Praise the living God. God is looking for perfect, qualified ministers in this 11th hour. And we know that many are not qualified because of the darkness that we are seeing in the land. Permit me to say it. You people know what is trending about a comment I passed in a sermon I preached. I have never been shaken as I am shaking this moment in my Christian journey. I'm shocked. I'm like, what is going on? Are you sure I'm in this planet? Are you sure that we are? Because I'm surprised. I'm surprised that we are rebuking worldliness. And people that are carrying the Bible are condemning us, calling us Pharisees, calling us bitter. Have they forgotten how deeper life used to do it? Have they forgotten that in the 90s, it was not even so in mainstream Christianity? But you know the most painful thing? Even people that once stood against it are saying, leave them. So far, they call the name of Jesus. And we are reading comments, and it is an experience that I will ever live to tell, because it is reshaping even my own Christian journey. And it is now that I'm truly singing that song, I have decided to follow Jesus. Because I now know that to truly follow him, you will face... It's not that did I understand your ministry more. God is my witness. I'm not saying it to flatter you, sir. It's now I understand your ministry more. That is not easy to stand out of the majority. That is not easy to stand alone where people that are running with you are supposed to be encouraging you. Brother Osas, Pastor Osasa, you gave me a message. I think it was last year. I think it's just being fulfilled. You remember, sir? I think it's just being fulfilled. Because it confirms to me that there is gross darkness in the Christian faith. No, thank you, sir. It's okay. And the reason is because the men of God are not perfect. They're not qualified. Anything that is happening in the church, if men of God should stand up and speak against it, the fire will go down. That's the truth. Any trend you see going on, if ministers should come and speak about it, because everybody that says he's a Christian belongs to one church or the other. Even if they're not going to the normal church, some people have made that they freeze their pastor. So if he says something, they'll still obey. So everybody has a spiritual authority that they're submitting to. But you know what the problem is? The men of God are not perfect, are not qualified. So what will they tell the people? How will they perform the surgery of truth upon the sick patients? They are not qualified. So God cannot entrust his bride with such ministers. When it comes to his bride, maybe I have fast forwarded. Jesus has bride and concubine. So he has his bride. The bride is the queen. The kingdom belongs to the bride. But you see the concubines, they are object of his pleasure. An example, the madman of Gadara received deliverance from Jesus. But concerning the kingdom of God, he knew nothing. When others were waiting in the upper room, he doesn't even know anything like that. When Jesus said, I am the bread of life, he knew nothing about it. Yet, he was helped by Jesus. And Jesus said, go and tell everybody what I have done for you. God gave him a commission, a mandate. Go and tell the whole world how I have delivered you. So when Peter should come and say, I'm a servant of Jesus, and the madman of Gadara should also come and say, I'm a servant of Jesus, are they lying? They are both saying the truth. But the ministries are different. One is ministering to the bride. The other is ministering to concubines. Praise the living God. But this is a gathering for the ministers of the bride. Praise Master Jesus. If you are part of the bride, put your hands together for the Lord. My talk is short. I'm not anointed to talk long like Daddy. It's Daddy that can keep us talking for hours. Daddy, sorry, sir. The man of God must be perfect. That's just the point I want to make. It is necessary. You must be qualified. If you are not, you will do more harm than good. You will be like the doctor that will forget the scissors inside the patient. You will be like the doctor that instead of him to say, give me quinine, he will go and bring chloroquine. And instead of the quinine to cure malaria, maybe the person is reacting to chloroquine. Instead of the patient to get better, the patient will get worse. It will be from surgery to what? To death. He has gone unconscious because that patient was in the hands of an unqualified doctor. Now I have 5 things to list for the man of God to be perfect. Things he must attain to. Number one, for the man of God to be perfect, he must understand the divine agenda or the divine timetable. The IT will help us list them. For the man of God to be perfect, he must know the divine agenda and the divine timetable. Or the divine timetable. When we talk about divine agenda, divine timetable, he must know what God is doing. God's program. What God is seeking to achieve. What God, the Bible says, God prophesied, I will do a work in your days. What is God doing? What time has he allotted for it? Let me give you an example. Let's see the Lord Jesus as an example. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Luke chapter 4 from verse 16. What makes a man of God perfect is more than I have given my life to Christ. It's more than zeal. It's more than charisma. This is the Lord Jesus as an example of a perfect man of God, a qualified man of God. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he was reading the Bible, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." To do what? To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And what happened? Can we read verse 20 together? He closed the book. Wait, ministers. But is that the complete scripture that the Lord Jesus read? Some people don't know. Let's go to Isaiah 61 from verse 1. So that you will understand what I mean by the man of God must be perfect. He must know the divine timetable. Many of us are just calling ourselves ministers because you have zeal, because you can pray. You don't even know that there is a message called the end time message. We don't even know that there's been a fall away and God is doing a program of restoration. And you say you're a man of God. You are not yet qualified. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This was where the Lord Jesus was reading. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And what? All in the same verse. But when we come to Luke chapter 4, verse 19, let's go back to where we're reading. You see how the Lord Jesus ended it. He took a part of that scripture. He says to preach what? The acceptable year of the Lord. But he didn't complete it. Rather, verse 20, what did we see? He closed it and he gave it to the minister and sat down. Something happened. The Bible says the eyes of everybody in the synagogue, they were looking at him. What is he doing? How can you? You know how the Jews cherish their law. How can he read the scripture halfway? We are still reading. Everybody's looking at him. It's just like when you say, read Psalm 23. Then you start with, the Lord is my. I didn't complete it. Psalm 23 verse 1 says, the Lord is my. The Lord is my. I have not completed it. You'll be surprised. Is that what Psalm 23 verse 1 says? That is the scenario there. He closed the book and gave it to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of everybody was fasting on him. Verse 21 is my emphasis. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture, the one I read and stopped, fulfilled in your ears. The Lord Jesus knew the divine timetable. He didn't just go quoting scriptures. He knew what God wanted to do. He knew that the remaining part of that scripture will be fulfilled 2,000 years later. He knew that this is the work of God for this season. He knew the divine agenda. You cannot say you're a qualified man of God when you don't know what God is doing, whether you're a preacher, a prophet, an evangelist, or a teacher. We are talking to the old fivefold now. You cannot say you're a qualified man of God when you don't know what God is doing in your day. Many of us don't even know that we are in the acceptable year of the Lord. Many of us don't even know that the church is divided into seven different dispensations that are known as the seven church ages. And that the church has a time it will end. Many of us are not even convinced about end time. Many of us don't even know what God is doing in our day. So what qualifies you to be a man of God? You're a quack man of God. Are we together? Yes, permit me, we are here to punch ourselves. He's training. Hallelujah. He's training. Hallelujah. If Anthony Joshua is preparing for a match, the coaches will punch him very well. He's training, we are doing. So when he comes out in the open, he will win. Is that right? So we will give ourselves uppercuts. After all, Pastor Yebuchi gave somebody uppercuts in the morning. Sorry, sir. Praise the living God. If you don't know the divine timetable, what I mean by divine timetable, I mean God's program, God's agenda for salvation. God's agenda for salvation is as simple as that. And it is spelled out in the scriptures. If you don't know it, you are not a qualified man of God. Are we together? Because it will hinder you from giving out meat in due season. There is a story in the Bible. But before we read that story, the story of Ahimaaz, let's see something in Matthew 24, verse 44. Matthew 24 from verse 44. So that we will know what qualifies us. It's more than I felt fire. Fire does not qualify you to be a man of God. It's more than I have a gift. That's why I said that the man of God, the gift is yes, God has called you. You have started school to be a doctor. The fact that you want to be a doctor doesn't mean you're a doctor. There is a process. You must finish the medical school, finish housemanship, and then you'll be declared a doctor by the people that supervise you during your housemanship. You don't just wake up and say, I'm a doctor. I feel gifted. I like people. I like treating people, so I'm a doctor. The highest you'll be is a native doctor. Praise God. Matthew 24 from verse 44. Let's read it. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. He says, who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household? To do what? To give them meat in due season. So there is the food for the season. But if you don't know the divine timetable, how will you know this is the time for us to eat dinner? How will you know? How will you know that this is the time for us to have breakfast? How will you know that this is the time for me to eat this type of thing when I don't have the timetable or know it? Let's complete that scripture. We are still reading it. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. And if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Why will he say in his heart? Because he doesn't know the timetable now. Go back to verse 48. Why will that servant say, my Lord is delaying his coming? It's because he doesn't know the timetable. He doesn't know that this is the closing time, the time where the master is expected to return. It's because of his ignorance that he's saying, my Lord is delaying his coming. Eh? What will I do? It will not shape in his character. He shall begin to smite his fellow servant, to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. And what will happen to him? And shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrite. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Brethren, it is better not to be a minister at all than to be a quack minister. It is better not to be a minister at all than to be a quack minister. A quack doctor will be arrested if somebody should die in his hand. You don't have your license because you did not finish school. You didn't do housemanship. Who licensed you to be a doctor? You are performing treatment, the person has died. They will sentence you. So it is better, since I'm not able to go to medical school, I wish to be a doctor, but I'm not a doctor, so let me leave it, than to be a quack doctor. I'm talking of ministry. It's better not to be a minister than to be a quack minister. That is the end of quack ministers. He said that we appoint them their portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So who called you? How can you be called? And the person that called you that has a program, you don't know his program. Imagine that you have an event. You hired an MC. And you people have planned the program and he does not know the program of events. He's just coming to freestyle. Working against the agenda that you have in that program. Maybe it's a wedding, then he turned it to a burial. Or maybe it's a burial, he turned it to a wedding. Because of his ignorance, how will you feel? So for a man of God to be perfect, to be qualified, he must know the divine timetable. Apostle Paul said, this is now, let's see Apostle Paul also as an example. Galatians chapter 2. from verse 1 to 14. Let's read it. Because if you don't know his timetable, you will miss God and you will not have the portion of meat in your season. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which are of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of us brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy at our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that it may bring us into bondage. To whom he gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat a conference added nothing to me. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the Eden, and they unto the circumcision. Only that they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. Now, what would give Paul so much courage, a Jew, to go and start preaching to Gentiles? And not just that. The scenario we read, let's read on, verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, what did Paul do? I withstood him to the face. Why? Because he was to be blamed. Why? We are still reading. For before that Satan came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Verse 14. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? What will give Paul so much courage to do this? Because the truth is, under the law, what Peter did was valid. Under the law, he is not supposed to have any dealing with the Gentiles. People that the Lord Jesus looked at and called them dogs. Are we together? But dispensation has changed. Paul, knowing the timetable, we stood with her and said, this thing you are doing is not supposed to be done anymore. It was done away with at the cross. Under this new timetable, you are not supposed to be separated from the Gentiles. And we stood Peter as a result of his knowledge of the divine timetable. You will not know the message to preach or the stand you should take as a minister if you don't have the divine timetable. You don't know the divine agenda. Ministry is not just usage of anointing. What is the purpose of the anointing? You will not know if you don't know God's agenda. Daddy was using himself as an example. How that if knowing the grace of God upon him, he can turn that grace to entertainment. Imagine telling an angel, move Brother Chinedu, please act with me. Move Brother Chinedu, angel, move him to that rug. Angel, cause him to empty all his pockets. Anointing. You don't do. Thank you. But something checked him, a knowledge. No one will be useful to God as a minister if you don't have knowledge of his divine agenda. We are not just called to preach Jesus. It's Pastor Ibuchi Abi that made reference, or Pastor Sass, about somebody that was preaching, a prophet that was doing evangelism. Said for 30 minutes, the guy saying, why will you perish? Jesus loves you. Why will you? Is that it? We heard it. That for 30 minutes, he kept saying what we no longer sell in this generation. We'll get to that. Because that itself is another point. If you don't know the divine agenda, you won't be useful to him. What is God doing? What is he saying? What is he trying to, what is his objective? What is his message for your day? How long do we have left as Gentiles? Are we truly in the end time? Is the rapture close? What is going on? God is always doing something. God is never idle. But what he's doing will only be revealed to his own. So you cannot be a true servant of his when you don't know what he's doing in your time. Are we together? Many people have made themselves like Ahimaaz. Let's read that story. It will help some people. 2 Samuel chapter 18. We know the story. In the sermon that Daddy preached, Running Without a Message. In case you have not heard it, just look for it. Let's take it from verse 9. So that we identify who we are. But from this point I'm making, what differentiates them both is the knowledge of an agenda. And Absalom met the servant of David. And Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak. And he said, cut out of the oak, and it was taken up between the heaven and the earth. And a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak. And Joab said unto the man that told him, and behold, thou sawest him. Why didn't you smite him to the ground? And I've given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle. The man said unto Joab, though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in my hand, yet I will not put forth my hand against the king's son. For in our hearing, the king charged thee and Abishai and Ittai, saying, beware that none touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise, I should have wrought falsehood against my whole life. For there is no matter hid from the king. And thou thyself would have set thyself against me. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took 3 darts in his hand and thrust him through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And 10 young men that bear Joab's armor compassed about and smote. How many young men? 10, right? Smote Absalom and slew him. And Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel. For Joab held back the people. And they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the wood and laid a very great heap of stones upon him. And all Israel fled, everyone to his tent. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar, which is in the king's day. For he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name. And it is called unto this day Absalom's place. From verse 19, see what the Bible says. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings, how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. Thus, Ahimaaz understand that agenda, the program that is going on there. When we read, you will see whether he understands it or not. Joab said unto him, you will not bear tidings this day. Another day you will bear tidings because you don't understand my divine agenda. The king's son is dead. Then said Joab to who? Cushi. I wouldn't be surprised if Cushi was not part of the 10 men that bear Joab's armor. See what Joab said to him. Go and tell the king what thou hast seen. What have you seen? Servant of God, what have you seen? Go and tell Cushi. Ahimaaz saw something. They even told Ahimaaz. But he understood not the program. Joab did not need to start calling Cushi. Cushi, this is how you will tell the king. This is what you... Cushi already knew the agenda. He said, go and tell the king what you have seen. Thank you. We are still reading. Then said Joab to Cushi, okay? And Cushi bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Moab, Father, use me. Use me, O Lord. Use me. I prayed you also. Let me run after Cushi. You said, I cannot use you. You don't know my divine agenda. You have no tidings ready. You don't know what I'm doing. You don't know my plan. I killed the king's son, but I will not go and start telling David, I'm the one that killed your son, after you gave me a commandment. You don't know what I'm doing. You don't know my program. You cannot go. I cannot use you. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, if you don't use me, I will use you. Let me, I prayed, you also run after Cushi. Father, if you don't use me, I will use you. Many of us are using God. Somebody said it earlier. Joab said, why do you want to use me? Why should I use you? See, you don't know my plan. Verse 23. But howsoever said he, let me run. Ah! And okay, go. Now open Power Must Change and Prophetic Deliverance International Prosperity Ministry. Sorry if it's the name of your church. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushi. Note that. David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate onto the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. The watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. And the king said, he also bringeth tidings. So two categories of ministers are sent. The watchman said, I think the running of the first, the foremost, is like, so he overran Cushi, as the scripture says, is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. The one that knew not the plan, that knew not the program, that insisted that he must be used. The king said he is a good man. It is more than being good to be used by God. It is more than having good intentions. Some Christians have turned ministry to social works, like the late Prophet T.B. Joshua. You think, and they think that's Christianity. We go to the motherless, we go to this. If that is all that makes us Christians, then everybody in the world is a Christian. And the king said, he's a good man and cometh to good tidings. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, what was his message? All is well. And that is the message in the land. The message that God, everything is just positive. You know, just God is just the miracle working one that will meet all your needs. A good God. The good God has a divine agenda. Let's read on. We have not finished the story. Let's read on, please. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which have delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. There's a program. The king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me, thy servant, I saw a great tumult. Church. I saw all of us different, the same Bible, different denomination. I saw it, but I don't know what it is. I saw that in the book of Acts, there were no names of churches. I saw it, but I don't know what it is. What did the king do? Verse 30. The king said unto him, what? Turn aside and stand here. You are not worthy. And he turned aside and stood still. But let's see the one that was sent. And behold, Cushi came. See a qualified man of God, a perfect man of God. Cushi said, tidings, my lord the king. For the Lord had avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. The king said unto Cushi, is the young man Absalom safe? Can you see a man of God that is perfect? Did he start telling story like Ahimaaz? He knew the plan. The enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do the earth, be as that young man is. Period. The message was clear. He didn't start telling him, we saw him hanging on a tree. Then Joab and three of us went, He gave the message accurately because he knew the plan. He knew the agenda. So what kind of minister are you? In this story, Ahimaaz was a quack minister. He insisted he must be sent. I want to run. Ministry is not by force. Ministry is by call. I want to run. Ministry is not by force. Cushi did not go and tell, Oga Joab, I dare you, send me to. Ministry is by call. And evidence that he was genuinely called, he perfected him. He saw the divine timetable. He knew the agenda. Then all of us are carrying Bible, and the message of the Bible is all you know about the Bible is deliverance, healing, prosperity. You are Imazo. You don't know that judgment is coming. You don't know that, as we say, the rapture has started. You don't know that God is rounding off his program. You don't know that the gospel is going back to Israel. You don't know that the 70th week of Daniel is about to begin. You don't know the divine agenda. You are not qualified. And I'm not talking to preachers only. Because even as a prophet or an evangelist, this is what guides you. No prophet that knows the divine agenda will go and start a church and call himself Prophet Benjamin, Overseer of Bride Assembly. Anambra. Ogba, thank you, sir. No prophet will do that if he knows the divine agenda. Prophet Joseph, you have had a lot of offers to leave Bread Assembly Church. Offers that if some ministers here have, they will say, I didn't know. Yes, this sir. Is somebody that has, when the former president, the former Christian president, was still in government, this is somebody that had access up to Aso Rock, that they will send private jets with DSS escort to come and carry him from Lagos to Abuja. This is somebody that ministered where General Overseer Daddy Adeboye was. He finished ministering and he went to give him. Pastor Adeboye gave him his Bible because he was so marveled by the grace of God. This is somebody that they gave briefcase full of dollars.
Yes, sir.
The offer he had, the offer he has seen in the ministry, if he doesn't know what he knows, he will not remain in Bride Assembly Church. He will not remain in Bride. Somebody from the church has once called him that, come, I have a land in Ago.
Four plots.
Come and start your church. Somebody from the church, from his church, called him. So what are we saying? If you don't know the divine timetable, you will automatically disqualify yourself from being used by God. You will only end up as Ahimaaz. And Ahimaaz ran faster than Cushi. So what makes a man of God perfect? God will bless you, Brother Chima, for the song you sang. We heard that song. It says, study to show thyself approved. That song is a very powerful message. It is not because we are just gifted. That's not what God is looking for. God has a plan. He has a program. There is something he is doing. Are you working with God or working against God? And you say you're a minister. So it is more than I feel a fire. It is more than a zeal or a desire. For you to be a perfect man of God, nothing is wrong. For you to have the zeal and desire, that shows he's calling you. But for you to be a perfect man of God, you must know the divine timetable. Somebody shout hallelujah. Paul knew the divine timetable. He started saying that the end, he said, let's see Romans chapter 10 from verse 1 to 4. Why was his message different? And why was he persecuted? As a result of what he knew. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Verse 2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. Zeal of God. But not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Why? How does he know this? It's as a result of the divine timetable. The time will come when God will corner from law to grace. He knew all this. And that made him a mighty tool in the hands of the master. Praise the living God. You are not qualified a minister if you don't know the divine timetable. Let's move to point number two, because of time. Number two, you must understand your office or your call. For a man of God to be perfect, he must know his office or his call. As Osa says, some of us have missed calls. There are the leadership offices. Let's see, it's Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 9. Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower part of the earth? For he that ascended is the same also that descended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Back to verse 11. We know it, the fivefold ministry. Still on the story of Ahimaaz and Cushi. Do you know that Ahimaaz had once delivered a very good message before that time? He has. And he did it perfectly because that was the one he was ordained for. Confusion begins when we don't even know our call or office. How can we say we are qualified and we are confused about our position, confused about our office? You say you are a called evangelist, and that is the grace you have. What business do you have in starting a church? You even gather people. It's not pride for you to hand them over to a pastor when you know you don't have what it takes to shepherd them. Why do we want to juggle and juggle the call and choose the one we want? That was the problem with Ahimaaz. I'm looking for that scripture where he delivered a message when David was running from Saul. 1 Samuel. That should be 1 Samuel chapter. Let's see it so that you will see what he did before. Should be 1 Samuel chapter 24 or 25. Pastor Gabriel, help me look for that scripture. Where Ahimaaz and another person ran to go and tell. Okay, 2 Samuel rather. When David was running from his son. Yes. 2 Samuel. Okay. 2 Samuel chapter 15. Let's take it from verse 35. For you to see that Ahimaaz has a part in the ministry. But the problem was, he did not know his position. He wanted to run and go and do a work that was not his own. That's one of the confusion. You are not yet qualified when you don't know what you are called for. Praise God. Let's read it. This is David running from Absalom. He said, and as thou not dealt with this, Zadok and Abithia the priest, therefore it shall be that whatsoever thou shalt hear out of the king's house, thou shalt tell it to Zadok and Abithia the priest. Behold, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son. And by them, ye shall send unto me everything that ye can. So he had a ministry. He could be a spy. They could tell him something. Yeah, go and tell David, though, don't let his son see you. He was good for that. But to go and deliver the message about the king's son, he was not ordained for it. What are you ordained for? If some of us are sincere with ourselves, we will close down our churches or hand it over to another person. What are you ordained for? Who says you must be a pastor? What are you ordained for? Are you sure that your grace doesn't go, your grace is limited to evangelism? Because when people come under you, can you really shepherd them and lead them to perfection? Now, the pastor is not better than the evangelist, nor the prophet than the pastor. It is the same God that gave all for the work of the ministry. It's his plan. But we are to fit into that plan as he has chosen us, not as we desire. Ministry is not by choice, it is by call. If I want to be a minister, is it not prophet I will be? I will tell the Lord to give me the grace of these five prophets. Then I will add, I am the mighty major, not just major. Mighty major prophet. Because of the glamour that goes with the prophetic ministry. When the pastor is talking, they will not evangelize. Hey, but once the prophet starts, your name is this, you are from this, this is what God is telling me about you. Even the unbeliever is attracted to the prophet. Even the unbeliever is attracted to the prophet. So who would not like to have such a ministry? Pastor Sass said something earlier that if you cannot read or write, you should not be a pastor, a teacher. But he said that the prophet, they don't need anything. Even if you say, God told me to told you, the message is delivered. And it's the truth. If you like, don't understand the message. You're on your own. God told me to told you that when you are went in there, this is what I saw. The message is delivered. You can see how simple the ministry is. It is only in the spirit that they are attacked. Physically, everybody likes them. Praise God. Who will not like to be such? Are we together? But it is not by choice. He gave some. He gave some. Joab called Cushi. Joab called Cushi. Ahimaaz did not run to. Cushi did not run to Joab and say, call me and make me prophet. Father, call me and make me this. Let's be very sincere. The ministries you have started, is it a call or a desire? Is it a call or? You know, the Pentecostals have, the people out there, the concubines, They have presented ministry in a way that, is a big achievement. Our glory is not more there. Our glory is here. So when you become a minister, you are now Lord. Lord. You hardly see ministers that are servants anymore. Is the truth. You hardly see ministers that are servants. Ministers are now, there's this thing about being a Lord. Now, that doesn't mean you should not be the leader, but there's this thing about being a Lord. So it is so attractive. Everybody wants to be a pastor, a reverend, a minister. Do you know who I am? Good morning, sir. Oh, God bless you. Hallelujah. Not good morning back. We are reverend. So everybody is attracted to the ministry, but not everybody is called. Some are even called to be, maybe to be an assistant or an administrator, to be a part of an administrative office in the church. Why do you think, or why have you decided to make yourself pastor by all means? Then when the storm comes, you are not able to cushion it, to stand. Because you are not called for it. So David told Ahimaaz, turn aside and stand there. Is that what God is telling you? You have a ministry, but we are not seeing the heavenly fruit because you have missed your call. Brethren, ministry is not by choice. It is by call. We are still reading. Let's see something. Romans chapter 1 verse 1. So let's stop confusing. For you to be a perfect man of God, you must know your call. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be what? He was certain. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 1. Some of us will soon see that we are called to be deacons. Like Brother Chukwuma. Paul, called to be an apostle. I did not wake up one morning and say, I want to be apostle. Apostle. When they hear it. Called to be. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 1. You must understand your office to be perfect. You must know it. 2 Corinthians 1:1. Paul, see the way he worded this one. An apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of... brethren, you didn't see it. By the will of who? By self-will? Your ministry is by the will of who? Your own ministry. Answer privately. Is by the will of who? Your ministry is by the will of who? Galatians 1:1. We are still looking at it. Galatians chapter 1 verse 1. You must know your office or your call. Galatians 1:1. Sorry. Paul, I love this one also. An apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by who? Eli, I loved the teaching of Pastor Osas in the afternoon. It was Eli's voice that Samuel heard. And Samuel went to respond to Eli, thou hast called me. Meanwhile, it was God. So God will always place people there to help us. It is true. Let me use myself as a little example. Daddy, one of the reasons I rejected Daddy, that was shocked when I was suggested to be your PA, was because that was not what God showed me, sir. Is that where? What God told me was that I was called to be a pastor. I knew it. So I was surprised that I didn't see this one. I didn't see myself. Well, I knew I had a work to do with him. I knew it. Brother Dennis, you're a witness of this. I knew it. But I never saw PA. So when I was recommended to be Daddy's PA, Brother Shile knew the resistance. I resisted because I was like, this is not what I saw. I never imagined it. Little did I know that was my training. I needed to go so that we understand the vision of the person that will raise me up. Now, the point is, Daddy was the one that saw it and helped me. It's my ally that has made me understand the call of God. Quite all right. But I'm not made a pastor because he poured oil on me. It's the truth. I'm still a learning pastor. That's why Daddy must not travel for too long. Please, Daddy. You must not go more than 2 weeks. Come back to your church, sir. I'm still a learning pastor. But I know my call. It's not him that made me a pastor. He saw something. And he said, no, this is a pastoral grace. It is not a political appointment. It's a call. Are we together? A qualified man of God must know his call. I be prophet. You know they see vision. You know if you inquire. Who tell you say you be prophet? Are you sure you're not the one desiring it? And because you have small word of knowledge, does it make you a prophet? If daddy doesn't know his own office, with the level of word of knowledge he has, won't he be claiming senior prophet? But yet he will say, tell you, I am a pastor. When he came back, I was telling Brasini, we were playing. I said, daddy, you are an apostle. You are seeing vision. I was doing like this, see who you are. But that's a joke. He will tell you he's nothing but a pastor of a local church. Because he knows his call and his office. He's a pastor raising prophets, raising evangelists, raising teachers, raising other pastors. Why has he not shifted to apostle? He knows his call. Do you know your call? Do you know your call? I'm an evangelist for how many months, sir? Pastor says, he could not come for evangelism. See now. I'm an evangelist. No passion for souls. You are not called. So for you to be a qualified man of God, you must even know what God has called you to do in his body. Has he really called me to be even a pastor or to assist a pastor? Has he really called me to stand as the head or to be in the administrative office of a ministry? Has he called me to be an Aaron, a Joshua, a Or, or a Moses? So why is everybody running for the one that I'm me? That is why we have so many problems. Unqualified, quack ministers leading the church. But for his bride, he needs to qualify us. We must be perfect. So let's know our call. If not, we'll continue in this confusion. Are we together? Prophet, you are not a pastor. Don't go and change position. Like a prophet that left the church. He'll go and play that this message, then come to his pulpit and come and preach it. So he reached one day. He started asking questions. That is where the fuel finished. Because he's not in his office. He was doing copy and paste. Prophet Benjamin, when you pastored the church, how was it? How many times did the church fail? 3 churches, right? Give him the mic. Let's hear him. We are here to learn.
There was never thought said the Lord for me to do that.
So it kept failing?
Yes.
How many times?
3 times.
Can you see? Can you see a sincere prophet? He has the charisma, he has the anointing, won't he pull crowd? But he went and started the ministry. 3 good times. It failed. But now that he's back to his office and position, the glory is restored. Many frustrations that some people face in the ministry is because they're not in the place of their calling. That's the truth. You are eyeing an office. You are eyeing a position. You are eyeing it. No, nothing is wrong with designing spiritual gifts. It's good. But you don't appoint yourself to a spiritual office. It is a call. Are we together, servants of God? Let me move on so that we'll round up fast. So pastor, remain pastor. Teacher, remain teacher. Evangelist, remain evangelist. Prophet, prophesy. Number 3. For you to be qualified, you must defeat the Antichrist spirit of your day. You must defeat the Antichrist spirit. For a man of God to be qualified, he must defeat the Antichrist spirit of his day. The same Antichrist spirit manifesting in different ways in different generations. Once upon a time, it was physical death, martyrdom. When you're a Christian, just be ready to pay with your blood. But in our generation, some parts of the world, people might still be dying, but it is largely not so. The spirit of deceit is mightily at work. So if you have not defeated it, you cannot say you're qualified, because how will you open the eyes of others? How can the blind lead the blind? How can you that is blind lead another blind person? Let's read Revelation chapter 3 from verse 14. For you to be qualified, you must defeat it. In our own generation, it's deceit. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, because this is what concerns us. This last church age is where we are. We are still reading, please. This sincere, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou art hot or cold. So then, because thou art what? Lukewarm. So we are seeing what we are fighting in this generation. Because you are lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich. The Antichrist spirit, this is what it has done to the Christians of this age. And increased with goods, and have need of nothing. Ah, there's revival everywhere. That's the language. We are saying that there's gross darkness. They say, how can you say the church is in darkness? They don't understand. And thou knowest not that thou art wretched. That is the condition of this generation. Miserable, poor, blind, naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of the nakedness do not appear, and anoint thyself with eye salves, that thou mayest see. If you have not overcome your age, the spirit of your age, you are not yet qualified to be a minister. Are we together? We are here to receive redirection, revival. If you have not overcome the spirit of your generation, you are not qualified. No matter the anointing that we say is flowing. We made it clear. We said Samson was highly anointed, genuinely gifted. But the purpose of the anointing was not fulfilled. Because after his death, the Philistines kept ruling over Israel. What Samson left behind was what Saul met, was what David met. The same Philistines. After Gideon, we did not hear of the Midianite again. After Deborah, we did not hear of Sisera, the Canaanite. Because they finished, they ended the battle. But when they got to Samson, we always say that he killed 3,000 Philistines. Is it only 3,000 Philistines that were existing? He failed. Now, we are not typing it. We are looking at the story primarily. Because we can learn, we can type and learn some things. But let's look at the primary story. When every judge finished, the Bible will say the land had rest for so number of years. When it came to the time of Samson, there was no rest. The same Philistines that he left behind were the Philistines that Saul, Samuel, the prophet, met. Samuel did not finish them. They were the same Philistines that Saul met. It was until the days of David that they became silenced. See the years, number of years that passed by because of a failed minister, yet heavily gifted. So why am I saying this? It is not just that we are anointed. If you have not overcome the spirit of your generation, you are not qualified a minister. It's not by going to Bible school. Bible school will not make you any minister. The ordination certificate from Bride Assembly Church is not what qualifies you. The way some of us do. Since the day of my ordination, I don't even have any certificate. I know too well. Well, maybe anytime I need it, I may meet the church secretary and say, please give me one certificate. None was presented to me and I did not even bother. Because is it a certificate that qualifies me? So it's a certificate. When the storm arises, I'll bring out my certificate and say, CEO, Satan, see my certificate. I am ordained. That's what I'll say. It is not the certificate. It is not even the anointing or oil that was poured on you. It is not so. If you have not overcome the spirit of your day, forget it, you are not qualified. Are we together? That antichrist spirit of deception, we must overcome it. 1 John 2:18 says that there are many antichrists. So in our own day, we are seeing it manifesting. The Bible says, woe to them that put light for darkness and darkness for light. It is happening now. Are you seeing it and have you overcome it? Are you seeing the false Christ in our day? Are you overcoming the spirit of deception? Both those that have already entered the entire message and those that you are wondering, what is this entire message that they are saying? Have you seen that the church of Jesus is in darkness? That there is deceit all over the land? Somebody has not come to terms with water baptism in Jesus' name and is running to be a minister. You have not come to terms with water baptism that they can show you. And the only reason is because the spirit of deception. You have not come to terms that a woman must not be a pastor. So in your church, your wife has a special seat. And you say you are qualified a pastor. You have not come to terms that each local assembly is unique. But you still want to run church enterprise. Let me have branches under me sending this thing. You have not overcome the spirit of deception. So you are not qualified. You are not qualified. Let's not deceive ourselves. We cannot be walking in error and say we are qualified. See, there are two categories of ministers. The Agai minister and the Shahazgash ministers. One is for the bride, walking with the spirit of truth. The other is for the concubines, walking with the spirit of error. So if you have not overcome the spirit of error, you are the one calling yourself. You are not yet a qualified man of God, regardless of your charisma. It's a painful truth. Men is the truth. Many of us want to use God. If we are truly the servant does not command the master. The servant is, as my Lord pleases. What can I do for you, my Lord? As my Lord pleases. But many of us, what we call ministry, are our own desires and agenda. Then because of small people fall under anointing and small charisma, you think God is with you. That anointing is there to deceive you. We are servants. We are called to submit. Stop instructing the Holy Ghost. Submit to him. Stop instructing him. Are we together? So if you have not overcome that spirit of deceit, forget it. You aren't qualified. Let's move on. For you to be a qualified man of God, point four, you must be mature in character. Now, this is where the other type of perfection comes in. This perfection that we're talking of now is now maturity. What are we saying? You must be mature in character. Be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. We're not talking of your physical age. You are talking of Christian character. That means as a Christian, you must have brought under the works of the flesh. You must have attained at least to some image of Christ. Praise God. How can you say you're a shepherd and you are devouring the sheep? That's the condition of some ministers. Devouring the sheep in fornication. Devouring the sheep in money, cheating them, charging them. Being a burden, a load to church members, to the sheep. And it's as a result of immaturity. The works of the flesh are still controlling you. A child cannot be a father. You are still a baby in the Lord. Why are you being a father? The office of a shepherd of the fivefold is a fatherhood office. Not just the pastor, the fivefold, because they are the leaders. When the Bible says elders, it's not speaking of any appointment, elder this, elder that. The real church elders are those fivefold ministry. So he may be young in age, but in the spirit is an elder. But now, here you are, you say you are an elder, but you are behaving like a tata. Tata. You are not qualified. There are some ministers that when they get angry, they will drop their Bible and pull their suit and exchange blows in front of church members. And when you finish, you'll be regretting it. That's it. You are not qualified. Because when storms come, you think, the ministers are the ones that face the challenge the most. You see, Daddy, you're always smiling, confident, this and that. Do you know the arrows, the battles, the temptations, the restraining of himself that he goes through all the time? When you see people that you raised, people that you are their benefactor in life, You God used you to bring them from rags to a position of honor, and then they are looking at you for no reason, insulting you, despising you. It's very difficult. And yet you are still restrained. You are looking at them and laughing. It's very difficult. But not many of us can be such. Many of us will drop the Bible and say, I curse you in the name of the Lord. Immaturity. Something happened. Last year, a brother in the church, there was a misunderstanding, about repair of one of the generators. So it's like we misunderstood him. He also misunderstood us. We were blaming him that he didn't do the gen. So we had to call white men. It's as if he wanted to spoil the gen. Well, it's a long story we've reconciled, but there's something I want to learn from it. He stopped coming to church. So I saw his wife one day. He said, where's your husband? It's been a long time. I didn't know that they were boning me, meaning me. Something I was not even involved in. I just said, please, anniversary is coming. Remove this work from this man. You have been trying to repair the generator for many days. You couldn't do it. You are telling us you are almost there, but please, I beg. Me too, I have somebody watching over me saying I must get it done. Let's call these people. But they go angry. They go offended. And she was blaming me. They were even very bitter and angry. And I felt so hot. It was in the church compound that day. She was accusing me falsely for something. I said, I don't know. Brother Frank, are you with me? Or whether it's the head janitor that day. Random, do you witness it? You know who I'm talking of, Sister Chisom. You witnessed it that evening. Thank you. I was so angry. I said, if I'm the one that wronged your husband, let God judge me. But if your husband is the one that wronged us, for you to know angry, I said, let God judge him. That was my statement. Somebody did not know what I said. No, a brother that is genuinely gifted called me later and said, God said I should not curse. I didn't even say God punish you. But that statement was out of anger. I was vexed. I was vexed. But you see maturity. See me arguing with a sheep I should be watching over. But as God said, he doesn't even know what happened. When I received the message, I said, God have mercy. So I had to call them, pray for them, bless them. Luckily, I think it was Prophet Ben that picked the husband one day. And then that he also blessed him and everything. That statement I made out of anger, the angel of the Lord saw it and maybe wanted to even act on it. But we are not called to destroy. We are not called to destroy. I had all justification for what I did. I was so justified in my sight. But you're always seeing your front. You're not seeing your back. It's when I started talking more with him. I then discovered maybe he too, he tried his best anyway. So it was not intentional. But he taught me a serious lesson that I'm not called to curse. So you can see the level of immaturity. It took time before she had respect for me back. But today, which day I was passing by in Thursday service, I was praying for people. I sent for her. I just saw her going. I had an inspiration and I sent for her. And she was shocked that she wanted to see me for prayer. See how God is restoring. And I was praying with her and it was ministered to me that there's a marine woman that appears to her. She said yes. So now I have respect back. But I lost it. I had to ask God for mercy. And that's the condition. If you are not perfect in character, you are not qualified to be a minister. It's the truth. It's the truth because you are supposed to be, see, you are and not just an example, an influence. If you truly are a leader, people watch you and learn from you. That's the truth. People watch you and learn from you. People watch you. Whether it's not like the way they do in the denomination, where if your pastor palm air, you go and palm your air. No, that's canon. But that thing in you that was wrought in you by God, other believers around you, we also benefit from it. They will copy indirectly. Follow me as I follow Christ. If Christ is making you perfect and I'm following you, you are my leader. If I'm walking in your steps, he's supposed to do the same work in me. That's just the pure truth. So if you're not perfect in character, how can we lead others? They come to you, you lie. You have no integrity before them. Some of us are only respected because of our anointing. But if you say man of God, then they call you man of God because you see, gets more anointing. But when it comes to your personality, they are not calling you man of God. When it comes to, that's the truth to many of us. When it comes to our personality, this is what they do to us behind. He said, be man of God. But when they see, man of God, my prophet, my pastor, my evangelist. But behind you, as a result of our character, behind us, what do they say? Apostle Paul said something in 1 Corinthians 13:11. He said, when I was a child, 1 Corinthians 13:11, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. So in the spirit, you are supposed to be men. Our character must be perfect, mature. A man of God and all the girls under you, you have slept with them. So what testimony will you leave? You have even lost influence. You are no longer salt. You are a salt without savour. They are just looking at you. You people are playing religion. It will take God to rearrange any such fellowship. It's serious, brethren. We can't allow the works of the flesh hold us back and we are thinking we are doing fine. If we can't conquer the works of the flesh, we are not qualified. Let's go back to the upper room and wait. Let's stop going out and mispresenting Christ as these Babylonians are doing. If we can't conquer the flesh, go and wait. Peter, you have denied me before. Yes. I want to use you, but wait. Wait till you receive a power that will make you conquer flesh. No wonder Apostle Paul gave us the qualifications for a minister. 1 Timothy chapter 3, from verse 1. Speaking of a leader in the church, but we can use it. Okay, let's read Titus. Titus chapter 1 from verse 5. Titus chapter 1 from verse 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city. The elders are the fivefold, as I had appointed thee. Now, see the qualifications. It says, if any be blameless. Are we blameless? As a minister, if they slap you one cheek, I better turn the second. No. Because if they see you fighting with the person that slapped you, they will not say, why did you slap pastor? They say, ah, pastor, why are you fighting? That's two different messages. Pastor, what is going on? He cheated me, he did this. Pastor, why did you do this? You know, something happened one day. My car, we're entering Church Road, just after that hotel, that junction into church. A trailer was coming. I'd shifted from that trailer very well. But he still passed. Only God knows what he was thinking, and he scratched that car. There's a pharmacy in that place, you know, behind the hotel. He scratched the car, he came out. The pharmacist, she's a chosen member. She's not a bride member, but she knows me. The first thing she said, hey, they don't scratch pastor moto. Wait till I won't talk again. So will I fight with the driver? They don't jump out. They don't scratch pastor moto. It isn't just the sound you hear. Luckily for me, I think it was Inspector Michael, one of our security, that is security that was passing by. So it's like two of them came. So they were the ones that started, so I stayed behind. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But at the end, there was nothing I could do. The man even started begging, and it was our neighbor. The truck was coming from the next compound to the church. So there was a way they held you. If you are truly a pastor, everybody is watching. They were waiting to see the showdown. So I behaved like a pastor. You know the meaning of I behaved like. So whether I like it or not, because of my core, I must act that way. There are ethics that go with the ministry we have. Because of your core, there's a way you must act. It's the truth. You go and be fighting. You go and be doing this. You go and be doing that. It's not. We are supposed to be examples for the flocks. Are we together? So it is necessary. To be qualified, we must be perfect in character. That is why Apostle Paul said, let him not be a novice. I have one more point after this. Let him not be a novice. Because he's new in Christ. He's still a baby, you know. But he must have been somebody that has experienced Christ, has been tutored, is a little bit mature. He's mature. Then that person is qualified to be a leader. But some of us have been Christians, in fact, ministers for 20 years, but we are still babies in the Lord. The anointing is there, but we are still babies in the Lord. So we bring reproach to our ministry. We are not qualified. So we must watch out for that. Point number 5. I think this one was necessary also. For you to be a qualified, a perfect man of God, you must be free from strange fire. You must be free from strange fire. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. It says, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them a censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered what? strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them. Because they offer strange fire, the priests that God chose, fire came from God to devour the same priest. And that's the problem with many ministers of God. Strange fire is burning on us. The fire can be zeal, can be motivation. The fire can be even the anointing upon you. But if it is not from God, it is strange. If what is motivating you to do ministry work is money, it's a strange fire. If what is motivating you to preach, to go for evangelism or do work of ministry is envelope, it's a strange fire. If you are involved in RNG, it is a strange fire. If you are motivated by let people see me, let me be known, it is a strange fire. If you give lying testimonies, helpers of God, it is a strange fire. If you go and import anointing, it is a strange fire. That one will even destroy you. And many people do it. Are we together? If you have strange fire burning on you, you are not qualified to be a man of God. You are not qualified. You are not a perfect man of God. So let me just drop these 5 points. I know there'll be more. There could be more. But let us search within. Let us see if we truly have attained unto the level where we understand the divine agenda, where we know our call, our position in the body. I'm a prophet. A prophet has no business with being a pastor. I'm an evangelist. An evangelist is not called to be a pastor. Let's have that. I'm not an apostle because there's no such office now. Until we are able to defeat the spirit of deceit in our day. Until we're able to be perfect and mature in character. Until we're able to put aside all strange fire. We are not yet qualified to be men of God. So in this conference where we are, let's look within. The areas of our weaknesses, let's ask God to help us. I believe you have a call. That is why you are here. I believe that you heard something. That is why, like Samuel, you ran to Eli. You called me. But we must also know and we must be properly positioned. Let's not end up as Ashgar's ministers who are called to keep the concubines. They have no value. They have no standard. So it is anything, anyhow. But when it comes to a guy, he knows the king's mind. Are you a guy or Ashgar's? Do you know the thoughts, the mind of the king? Do you know how the king wants his queen to be? Ministers of God, let's be sure that we are called. Let's bow our heads and talk to the Lord. Father, help me. Help me, Lord Jesus.